Our scripture reading this morning again is from Amos, as we continue our series on the book of Amos. Let us read Amos chapter 2. And a few verses again from Amos chapter 1. Starting in chapter 1. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep herders from Tekoa, which he envisioned in visions concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion, and from Jerusalem he utters his voice, and the shepherd's pasture grounds mourn, and the summit of Carmel dries up." And then in chapter 2, we read from verse 4, "Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Judah, and for 4 I will not revoke its punishment, because they rejected the law of the Lord, and have not kept his statutes. Their lies also have led them astray, those after which their fathers walked. So I will send fire upon Judah, and it will consume the citadels of Jerusalem." Gonna stop there. Next week we'll focus on Israel. But I think you all would say, at last, here we are at Judah. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, I am always stunned, because I am kind of a very random person. My wife knows it. I think the session knows it sometimes. But I'm really stunned by the absolute perfectness of God's Word, and how the Holy Spirit never gives us any idea of randomness. There's always order. There's always method. He always works in a specific way. I hope you've been, as you read through the scriptures, been amazed by how things just fall in place. How things that was planned in eternity is worked out in this lifetime. And we don't only have to look at the scriptures to know that. I think if we just only look at our own lives, you will agree with me how so often we are just stunned by how nothing happened by chance, how nothing happens randomly, how everything has, it doesn't always look like that immediately, but when we look back, see, God had a perfect plan with this. And that is what we also once again see in this Old Testament book. I hope by now that you are just like myself, they're also stunned not only by the fact that it's not random, but that a book this old can be so relevant for our lives, right? It's amazing. How many things have we heard that speaks to the people and to the church of 2020? It just tells us that the Word of God will never fade away. It will always accomplish His purposes. And in this passage, as we go, you remember I said God is closing in on Israel here and on Judah, His people. How He has gone through all the nations and He has admonished them. He has identified the sins of these people and proclaimed the judgment that would come upon them. People who were at first on every side of Israel. People who did not know God. People who did not know God's law. But I think also by now you realize that that is no excuse. Based upon what we read in Romans chapter 1, and in Romans chapter 1 says it leaves, if they just look at nature, it leaves them without excuse. But Romans chapter 2, 12, all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. And that is, in a sense, a very scary statement if we do not bring the gospel into this. These nations, we have seen, have committed terrible sins against mankind. And that in itself left them guilty and without any excuse before the living God. But now, as I said, at last we come to Judah and Israel, and I'm going to separate these two just for practical reasons. Remember why they were two kingdoms. The one kingdom of Israel split into two kingdoms because a group under the influence of Jeroboam I did not want to submit to the reign of Rehoboam, who, among other things, taxed the people very heavily. So Rehoboam was the successor of Solomon, and so Israel then broke away. You can go and read that history in 1 Kings chapter 12. The 10 tribes formed the northern kingdom with Samaria as their capital, and the 2 tribes formed the southern kingdom with Jerusalem as their capital. But if you go and read also in 2 Kings chapter 14, among others, you will read this: "And all the people of Judah take Azariah," Uzziah, that's the other name for it, "who was 16 years old and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. And in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years." And that's where we are. This is exactly the kings who reigned in the time of Amos. That's why I read again the first chapter, verses 1 and 2. Uzziah became the king of Judah from 779 through 737 B.C. And Jeroboam II, again in Israel's side, he was king from 786 through about 746 in the 15th year of King Uzziah. I want us to see, if we focus on Judah this morning, that there is a difference between Judah and the nations. But there is not only a difference, they also had certain things in common. Things between Judah and the rest of the people that was found in both nations. Because there was, there was a huge difference between Judah and the other nations. And I think that one is obvious. The fact is, Judah were the covenant people of God. They had God as their Redeemer. They knew God as their Savior. God had a special relationship with His people. God gave the revelation of who He is through the prophets to Him, to them. God gave them His Word to follow in that. And they, over the years of their history, they experienced God's love and protection. Their kings were of the line of David, to whom the promises had been made. And we know eventually the King Jesus Christ would be born out of Judah. Yes, I want to say the main thing was they were loved so much. But what did Judah do? They have forsaken their first love. They lived as if there was no difference between them and the other nations. They broke the covenant that God made with them. It was so bad that the prophet Jeremiah said about them that they were all uncircumcised in heart. Judah actually is included in the list when he says in Jeremiah 9:26, "Egypt, Judah, Edom, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and all who dwell in the desert, who cut the corners of their hair, for all these nations are uncircumcised." Isn't that just unbelievable? Among the godless nations, Judah is also mentioned. The people of God, who had to be different than the nations, became just like the nations of the world. And that is what they had in common. Just like the nations, they also sinned. It was just as many as the sins of the nations. The same formula is used by Amos once again. For 3 transgression and for 4. You remember I said in the beginning, it's just a description that how terrible their sins were. The Lord said He will not revoke its punishment. Now, in a sense, that is understandable. Judah, just like the rest of the nations, showed that they are part, remember we said last week, they are part of a fallen humanity. They show through the way they live, they are part of a rebellious people. And that, Judah, like the rest, showed the same truth. And that tells us that the church is not without sin. But the church stands in a covenant relationship with God through Christ. Our sins have been taken care of. And now we know how to deal with our sins. And we know to repent of our sins. We are going to be blessed again this morning when the Lord comes in a very practical, visible way and gives us the assurance that our sins have been taken care of for the sake of Jesus Christ as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But Judah angered the Lord with their sins. So what he said about Judah and their relationship with God? Well, you might say no specific sins are listed. That must count for something, right? No, wrong. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12:48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And Paul said, you will be judged without the law if you didn't have the law, but you will be judged with the law if you had the law. The sins of Judah were serious in the eyes of the Lord. He promised His judgment also upon them. Yes, they didn't kill anybody. All these terrible sins that we have heard about the past few weeks, that was not on the list of Judah's sins. And it's almost like, okay, that is not that bad. But the fact is, God does not make a difference. He said, even with this sin that is mentioned here, the judgment of God will come upon them just as fierce. And what were the sins mentioned? We read, they have rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept His statutes. Their eyes also have led them astray, those after which their father walked. You see, if you set God aside, you are making up your own gods. If you set God's word aside, you make up your own lies. If we think this is not a serious charge, we must think again. And it's perhaps, if we might think this way, it may be because we have an underestimation either of the law of God or the sins in our own lives. And partly because we often look at the sinful world around us. And so often we think, well, you know, at least I am not as bad as that one. I am not committing those sins that are so despicable in so many ways. And you tap yourself on the shoulder, right? And you feel good about yourself because I am not that evil. But let us not go there. Do not use the world as a measurement of how good or how bad you are. Never. Why would you even need Christ if you think about yourself as not too bad? God says that disobedience against His law is reason enough for His judgment. The measure we have to use in our life is the Word of God, the law of God Himself. And Judah knew what was right, but they did not do it. They did not only disobey God's law, no, they rejected God's law completely. And because they rejected it, they did not keep the precepts of God anymore. You see, the law of God as a rule of life were treated with contempt. The wisdom of God was despised by the pride of man. Prolonged disobedience eventually leads to the rejection of God's word. So you see, it was not that they obeyed just a part of God's word. No, their continuous disobedience led them to reject the word of God completely. Remember, the scripture says, we are, and we talk about the church, We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on what? On the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And what is that? Based, built upon the Word of God. Christ Himself being the cornerstone, writes Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 2:20. But if the church rejects its own foundation, how will we stand? If the church rejects the Word, how would we know who God is? How would she know that what He has done for us? How would she know how to serve the living God? If the church gets to the point that she rejects the truth, why even would she proclaim it in the world? It is when the church loses her foundation that she loses her voice in the world. And when the church loses her voice, the less influence the church has socially and culturally. And that is what secularization is. That is when whole societies eventually change completely. Because God was pushed out of the center of their existence. That is why the church is called to hold to and to obey all of God's Word. If we do not obey all of God's Word, but reject part of it, we will soon find that we will reject all of God's Word. You know, so often we force the Word of God to say what we like. Or we over-ask the Scriptures on certain matters. We especially see that in study committees, in general assembly. But it's also true of us. On many issues, the church continues to return, to ask again, to study once more this or that topic. Now, if it is because we really don't know and still don't understand God's will, that's one thing. If it is because we need more clarity, that's also fine. But if we go back because we don't like God's answers, and we want our own answers, then we have a problem. What God regarded as the truth in the past is still the truth today. God never changes, right? His Word never changes. It is only our circumstances, and it's only us who change. If we start picking at the Word of God and just be obedient to certain of God's laws and neglect others, it is the beginning of the downfall of the church. The end will be a complete rejection of God's will. Let me give you an example. And you can go and read the passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 this afternoon. Here we have the history of the king Uzziah, who reigned in the time of Amos. And if you go through those verses, you will see that Uzziah was obedient to the Lord as a king. And that he did what the Lord commanded him to do. And he prospered tremendously. But then if you go through around verse 16, at the height of his reign, the Scripture says, when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. You know what he did? The king entered the temple, and as king, he performed a task that was only to be performed by the priest. He brought a sacrifice. Now you say, what's the big deal? The king was not supposed to do that. That was something that God has commanded the priests to do. That's where this pride of this man led him to. Well, I mean, that just tells us no one may force himself into an office if he's not called to that office. And I think here we have a great example of where the state forced themselves into the work of the church, which is also not acceptable. Not even today. But then you see something wonderful. The priest at that point, Azariah, he entered into the, and he went with 80 men and they stood before the king, this mighty king. And he did not say, okay, king, this is okay, go ahead. No, he rebuked him. He said, you're not supposed to do it. I think that's amazing. But then we also see how the king reacted. He was enraged. You can imagine this king, how great he was in his own eyes at that point. Why would he listen to the priest? But you know what happened? The Lord struck him with leprosy. And he was a leper until the end of his days. You see, not even the king could pick out which commandments of the Lord he wanted to follow and which not. You either do what God says or you don't. And I think we do the same. Our pride so often leads us to do what we want. And then we even justify it. I just had no choice, we say. God will understand. A God of love will not punish me just for this one sin. No, it's only one sin that had Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and me. And we should never forget that. But look what the Word of God continues to say about Judah. He says, their lies have led them astray, those after which their fathers walked. As soon as man strays from God's Word, he starts believing all kinds of delusions. The fact is, whatever we add to God's Word and whatever we invent in our own minds, in our own brain, is a lie. Remember I said, if you set God aside, you start making up your own idols. If you set aside God's Word, you start making up your own lies. Even the idols you create are a lie. Isaiah said about the folly of idolatry in Isaiah chapter 44, shall I fall down before a block of wood? The one who does feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray and he cannot deliver himself or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Do we acknowledge that about the idols that we create in our lives? That it is a lie? Man either worships God or loves a lie. No one ever worships nothing. At the least, such a person worships himself. Whether you manipulate God's Word or believe only you like, you do not live in the truth. And then you have nothing to follow. And you start following your own heart. And you start following the lies you made up. And before you realize it, you are bowing and worshiping the idols you have created in your own lives. You see what Judah did. Among others, saying, their fathers paid for this evil. If they only wanted to listen. They did not. They walked in the paths of their fathers. And now the measure of their iniquity is full. And God will send fire on Judah, which will devour the palaces of Jerusalem. The same Jerusalem that they said, God will never destroy Jerusalem. God will never destroy the temple. God came and He did. Set aside God's Word. And you set aside the truth. Set aside God's Word and you set aside the Gospel. Set aside God's Word and you set aside Christ. Listen to what Paul said again. We read it in the first part of our worship service this morning. In Colossians chapter 1, 17, and He, that is Christ, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. All things. Now, Paul's first intention, taken the context, was to state this truth for all creation, for the whole world, and the whole universe. Think about it. Because of Christ's sustaining power, there is balance and order and planets in orbit that don't collide. Amazing. But all things, even in the context of Paul to the Colossians, does not exclude the church. Take Christ and His word out of the church. Take Christ and His word out of your family. Take Christ and His word out of or out of marriage or out of society. It will collapse. How can you and I, as covenant children of the living God, set aside the word? How blessed are we to be called His covenant people. Our glorious God bestowed such a favor upon us. Do not forget that it was all because of His Son Jesus Christ, with whom He established that covenant of grace. And under the covenant of grace, Christ accomplished what Adam failed to do in the covenant of works. So you and I can receive grace for His sake, the sake of the last Adam, Jesus Christ Himself. We are saved by grace for the sake of what Jesus had accomplished. So I plead with you this morning, go and search your own hearts again. You know God's commandments. You know what is right. Do not push God's word out of life. Do not think that you don't have enough time to spend time in God's word. God has revealed the truth to you so clearly. He has revealed His love to you in such an overwhelming way. And He did that on that old rugged cross where our Savior laid down His life for you, to free you from all your sins, also of your sinful desires to manipulate God's word, to reject it and follow your own lies. Remember the words of Jesus who said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Do not fall in the sins of Judah, who thought they would be children of God but did not have to obey His word. No, bring God's word back in the center of your life and make sure it stays there, not only in your homes, but also in this church. Let us bring it back in our society. Do not sin like Judah by thinking you could serve God, but share Him with all other idols. You either follow the truth or the lie. So, even when you come to the Lord's Supper this morning, come lay down your Judah sins. Lay down at the feet of the living God. Make sure that the sins in you are there against your will. Make sure that by the grace of the Holy Spirit, you are truly sorry for your sins. Make sure you truly desire to live a life according to the will of God. Come then to the Lord Jesus, because He never despises a contrite heart. Amen. Let us continue now to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I just wanted to make sure that everyone